The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, page 7 of your notes, Roman numeral 10, the stars. All right, once again, you have the opportunity to make the decision as to whether or not you're going to sit here in fellowship or not. And this is your opportunity to exercise your volition in a positive way towards the communication of Bible doctrine, as it only really works, when you are indeed in fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We who make a claim to positive volition are not on that path. We are on the path of truth and growing in grace and knowledge and coming to the fullness of Christ, the full truth. Bless our time together in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the stars, they were created on day 4 of Restoration Week. And they are called stars in the Genesis 1:14. He made the stars also. It's the way it's worded in there, it looks kind of like an afterthought, because the detail has to do with the sun and the moon, and then he throws in, and he did the stars also. Like, I'm not saying it's no big deal. It's just, it's the way the writing is here on this. Basically, there are two types of stars, categorically. There are those that are fixed, like the North Star, and those that are in motion, wandering stars of Jude 13. Of course, he's dealing with humans that are out acting up, but he uses an astronomical analogy, wandering stars. So this is how they read the 12 constellations. So a particular star would move in a particular conjunction with other fixed stars. The star Bethlehem, and of course it's called Jupiter, and the bright and morning star, called by the pagan name, of course, Venus, are not planets. They are not planets, they are stars. The Old Testament indicates the size of the earth, as compared to the celestial bodies, as relatively small, as they had to be of such a size to fit within the dome. By the way, in the Hebrew Bible, English translation, they translate firmament dome. I was told that by somebody that saw it in a bookstore. Scriptures, point 11, that now make perfect sense with this cosmology. Without going into all the detail in each of the contexts, obviously, it's just to cite this. Daniel 4:10, now these were the visions of my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth. And this is a vision, of course, but this tree is symbolic. It's in a vision, and its height was great. Bigger than any tree that we would, even a great redwood tree, any huge tree. This tree in this vision, the tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, not possible on a sphere. Matthew 4:8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain. This intrigues me. For more reasons than one. because Satan transported the humanity of Jesus Christ physically to a high mountain, not specified. It could have been one outside the land of Israel for all that. And angels can do that because the second advent, they're sent out to haul everybody that's a survivor of the tribulation and transport them to the judgment of the nations. So Christ is being transported by the devil to a high mountain, this venue, this place, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Again, how all of that works, we are not told, other than it was from this venue that he is pointing out the kingdoms of the world in the final temptation against Christ, toward Christ, to get him to fall down and worship him. Of course, he had to bring him back. Wow. Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds. There probably is a detailed study someone could make of clouds in the Bible. There's a lot of references, and some of them are very unusual. As I told you, there's those in here who have seen clouds behind the sun, behind the moon, even. And so he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Yeah, we used to say everyone will have a cell phone. I don't know if those things will be working very well by this time in the tribulation, with everything so wrecked and everything. So every eye will see him as it comes across the face of the earth. Because this is a massive, it's not just him, Christ, it's the entourage that makes for a mass invasion coming down to the earth. Even those who pierced him, Jews, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. John 17:1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, if he is spinning and moving, and this is an extended prayer, how do you even know what direction to look? If heaven is a place and a finite place. Threw that one in. Isaiah 13:10, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not shed their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Astrological phenomena in the trib. Genesis 11:4-7. They said, if you look at these people that are in rebellion at the Tower of Babel, let us build a tower whose height will reach to heaven, and let us make ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Okay, there is one, an attempt to reach the top, as crazy as they were, not just, you know, a tall building, but they worked on this for some time before the project was stopped. The Lord said, behold, they are one people. That's not God's plan for them to be one people. His plan was for them, and they knew this. It wasn't like they didn't know the directive after the flood to fan out and pioneer over time the inhabitable earth. So they were in rebellion against that. They wanted a one system there, and they would pool all of their resources, all of their moxie, everything in order to subvert God and his plan. And notice what it says here. This comes from God. And they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Wow. Are you kidding me? Like what? The advance in technology, and that we're in that mode today to control people, to manipulate their volition, to manipulate their thoughts, to control them. And so if they'd have stayed there, the rapid advance in technology would have been so phenomenal, it would have been unbelievable. But by breaking this up and scattering these people, by the language erasure and putting in the new language. They had to fend for themselves. They didn't have time to put all this together, so they had to develop civilizations independently of this group of people that would have overturned God's plan for the human race had they been allowed to stay there and manipulate everything. So that's an aside, but it's come, let us go down. That's kind of like, if you look at it from the standpoint of God's throne, obviously there is language of accommodation. God's already there. I mean, he's already there. But let us go down is analogous to a ruler getting to the bottom of things and finding out what's going on and making the correction. And there, confuse their language so they'll not understand one another's speech. That's another real plus for the Bible. The human race had one language. It was in one day, all these different people, except for those that may contain the primitive language, or not primitive in a bad sense, but the original language, and the rest of them got a brand new language put into their brain, computer. And they were just able to talk just as fluidly as someone who was raised in it. What a phenomenal miracle. God able to download, erase the original language for many of them, and put in completely different language dialect so that they could not communicate with each other. I mean, groups of them could, but not all of them. So when people can't understand each other, they go their separate ways. And that's what they did. They fanned out from there and settled in various places, starting from that epicenter, and moved out away from there. The more I think about the Antichrist and what his propaganda is going to be, how is he going to explain how he got a body? I mean, really? That makes sense to people around here. Only thing I can guess is, he's going to say that Lucifer figured out how to raise the dead. So there will be, that won't be truth, but he will have a tremendous propaganda. What is he going to say about all of the disappearing people on the earth we call the rapture? Deny that it happened? I don't think so. I don't even think he's going to resort to aliens came and took them away. I really don't. I'm just speculating a little bit that it's going to be, they were raptured, but we're going to win. And people are crazy enough to follow that. They are not, in the typical sense, he's not an atheist. In the typical sense of an atheist, he believes in Lucifer. The Luciferian cult is open, public, not hidden. And he maligns and slanders in his oratorical speeches those that are in heaven. So, thoughts I've been having about that. Revelation 6:12. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. I gave you this one before. So the sun's blacked out. It's not shining. And the whole moon became like blood. So it's not dependent on the sun. Or it'd be blacked out too. That's the idea there. Ecclesiastes 1:5. Also the sun rises and sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming, that's repeat, with clouds, and every eye will see him. And Isaiah 66:1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Footstools and thrones are in the immediate vicinity of one another. Yeah, this is the most special footstool that ever was, and that's the most special throne ever. But they are physical, and they are close. Characteristics of Earth 2. It is flat to accommodate the New Jerusalem. The city is laid out as a square. and its height is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, in the vision, 1,500 miles. That's computing from the Greek. 1,500 miles, so it's a cube. The city we are going to inhabit and live in forever is a cube. 1,500 miles. Now, 1,500 miles, that's quite a distance, but it's something manageable. You can understand it. It's still, obviously, mammoth, beyond anything that man has ever built. But it's still, I say just 1,500 miles high. Now, you, in that place, my father's house, of course, this city comes down from heaven and sets on this brand new earth, Earth 2. Earth 2 will be physically, overtly modeled like Earth 1 without certain features. There will be no oceans, no mountains, no need. There will not be day and night, only day. No sun, no moon. You will not look up and look at luminaries. They won't exist. God, in his Shekinah glory, will provide the appropriate level of light for everybody dwelling on the earth during that time. Almost unimaginable, but that see details in the doctrine of the eternal state. Another breakthrough we had in the past. The big part of that breakthrough was, in the kingdom of God on earth, Earth 1, 1,000 years, and Earth 2, in the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, which we're to pray for, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it'll make a monster step for the millennium, God's will being done on earth. But it will be not perfect because of people with volition who are in their natural bodies. In the millennium, there'll be interaction between, just as there was interaction between Jesus and his disciples after his resurrection. He fellowshipped with them, he ate with them, and so forth. Okay? So we will interact with the human race in our resurrection bodies. My point is, what problem do you have with them being in their natural bodies in perfect condition, no sin, eventually, nothing, on the new earth? They are the people that are outside the city and inhabit the territory outside it. Beyond that, the Bible is silent. I make all things new. The original creator will take out this earth and put a new one in its place. There will be no, at least for us humans operating in the eternal state, there will be no darkness. The only people experiencing darkness are those that are in the lake of fire. You might ask, well, where's that at? I don't know. Yet. May never figure that one out. I do know one thing, that in the millennium, prophets will arise. So they're going to look down the line and give prophecies about stuff. We'll see a development in those 10 centuries. We know how it ends. Gog and Magog. The revolution, a mind blower. We're on earth with people in the resurrection body, and we're still negative. What can you do? Nothing. They still manage to be negative. People can reject Christ under perfect environment. If you accumulate all the scriptures dealing with the millennium, it'll blow your mind. So what we're going to have, children, I'm borrowing from John, what we're going to have is a second restoration. A second restoration. It is going to change the ecology, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and all the, so much it's not even funny. Obviously, it's a rule of righteousness where people can't get by with all the shenanigans that they're pulling today in the world. They will be dealt with the rod of iron judgment if they move in directions of criminal behavior of any sort, whether it's one-on-one or a group of people getting together to try to take advantage of other people. It will not succeed. So I'm off on the millennium a little bit. Things I think about. God's heavenly throne will be relocated on the new earth. It'll come down and it'll be in the new earth. So the footstool, that was the footstool, is now going to be the center, where the throne of God is, and all the other details you can find in the last couple chapters of Revelation and some things in Isaiah and so forth. Abraham knew about this city, by the way, and there's not one mention of it in the book of Genesis. Not one mention. But according to Hebrews 11, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and architect was the Lord. You know, Abraham, the city boy, gave up his nice urban lifestyle to be a country boy, go out and do this. It'll house the church age crowd. It will house the Israelite, age of Israel believers, and those prior to that, which we call age of Gentiles. Millennial saints, they will come to the city. They will pilgrimage to the city. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into that city. And their glory will not be anything to sneeze at. Because they will be able to prosper out there without war, without all the usual nonsense. With no sin natures, they're going to treat their subjects perfectly. Everybody will be happy. It's unimaginable when you sit down something and tell yourself, I actually believe all this? I do, because I read it right in the Bible. That's where we're headed. Every believer needs to know where you're headed. If you die before the rapture, your soul's in the third heaven, in the throne room, waiting the rapture. If you're raptured, that'll be great, and you're alive. And then, 7 years in heaven, around the throne, with the seals being broken and all the ceremony and activity that all that's involved in those, after we get through chapter 3 of Revelation. And then we come back, every eye will see, we'll watch Armageddon. Christ will set up his kingdom. He'll give each of us assignments according to the way we operated in time. If we were with it, we get a higher position than if we are just a nobody believer, a negative believer. Accordingly, we will have these positions, ruling over nations, cities, and what have you. I'm not going to be a pastor teacher. I won't have to teach anybody. That's not going to be my call in phase 3. There'll be no oceans. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. They're taken out of existence. And it's described elsewhere in Peter as an incredible loud explosion. The whole thing is reversed, and it isn't just like poof, it's gone. It's with a bang, so to speak, and with fire. And the earth, and everybody, obviously going to have to resurrect the unbelievers out first. And we will all witness that. Just as the angels witnessed the original creation, there will be eyewitnesses by the billions and billions who will witness Christ bringing into existence, taking it out. Then the unbelievers will be cast into their place of the lake of fire, and we will watch Christ as we are suspended in space. We will watch Christ create that new earth we'll step onto. That's the doctrine you've heard at Maranatha Church. And we will enjoy the afterlife and never get bored, never get tired of it, ever. Because of the scriptures and the promises and the word of God that tells us that eye is not seen, etc. it's beyond anybody's capacity to imagine how great this is going to be. So I'm here as your pastor teacher to teach you so that you can keep yourself in spiritual order so that no matter what comes up against you, in time, you can stay positive and stay with the truth. And of course, God is the final evaluator of each and every one of us. But the thing is, don't let your sin nature, don't get stupid, don't do things that are out of line that will wreck this for you. So many have. You ought to have, all of us, a good amount of fear of coming up short. Some very good people, some very positive people have dropped the ball in my ministry over the years. They absolutely have. They were top notch and they crashed for a variety of reasons. Okay, moving on. That's just a little bit on the new earth. So heaven isn't this cheesy place that people portray it as. Scientism, that's a term, is unproven science that is theoretical and includes the following. There are probably other things that can be added to this. Evolution, as opposed to Genesis 1, 20 through 31. The origin of plant. I didn't put plant in here, but plant, aquatic life, animal life, all of it. It came on the scene, each of them, in a 24-hour span. And so we have this grotesque theory that makes God made man upright so he could reason out stuff. But he has been bamboozled by the wise who present these elaborate ideas about, in this case, the creation of the universe and the creation of life forms. The biological sciences, not the part that is observable, repeatable, and so forth, true science, studying an organism in its environment. That's no problem. That's all legit. But how it got here, that's where the problem is. And people say, well, we don't believe in that, so why do you harp on it? Why do I harp on Catholicism? Why do I harp on the Illuminati? Because I am here to expose evil. To build you up so you are not in the least bit intimidated by these elaborate presentations of geological uniformitarianism. The earth was blown off, etc. It took all this time to cool. And it developed an atmosphere. What? On and on it goes. And they present this stuff with a straight face. And they're dead serious about it. They're under the blackout of the soul. They bought into this just like someone buys into some goofy religion. Satanic religion. They bought it. They sold it to our school kids. Teach us all the way up there. No, not even, except in Christian schools. Not even, okay, here's two views. The Bible view gets laughed out. And yet there are scientists who've looked seriously at this thing and realized that it doesn't work. Things have to come full blown. I read an article on the human digestive system, starting all the way from the salivary glands, all the way to the teeth, the throat, the tongue, all of it. It all has to be full blown. The whole thing. The human eye is another one I like to use. Take a piece. It cannot come in gradually. We don't see that in other things either. They don't work. Machines don't work. You got to have all the parts. Everything has to be in place. Now, some run better than others, And they develop technologies for this. But as far as God creating and programming all of these plants and animals and all the cells, you have to have a programmer. Why does that creature do that weird stuff? Why do they act this way? They got programmed by a programmer. Their ancestors did. They passed it on down to them through procreation. They had to come full blown. There's only two choices. Oh, well, maybe aliens brought it here. Like, come on. That's just pushing the envelope back further. That's another one that I like to play out here, too. But that's the theory of gravitation. Think about it. Think about these things we've been told. One of my church members had one of my church members in their face, I guess that church member had left by then, screaming in their face, "It's a law! It's a law! It's a law." Everything they try to explain, that there's this mysterious pull on things. But how can it be so light that it allows something above it not to be affected by it? How does it hold all the water on the earth? And everything isn't flat. That draw and that pull would be so hard it isn't funny. Stick with the normal things. Things fall to the ground because they're heavier than air. And on a flat earth, you don't need any of it anyway. You don't need any of it. I don't know. It's incredible. The theory of gravitation, not needed on a flat earth, has never been proven as to its supposed source. When you ask one of these dudes, what is gravity? They go into this big thing and it's just weird. They don't have a little machine that... We got a little device here to measure gravity. See what the gravitational pull is over here today. They have technology to monitor all kinds of physical phenomena, humidity, magnetism, blah, 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 blah. But they don't have one for gravity. The occultist, Newton, made this stuff up. He was one of those wise men. He made this up. He spent years, a few years. This guy worked. He was a workaholic. He never had a family, was not married. He just worked and worked. He wrote paper after paper, thing after thing, trying to figure out how he could change lead into gold. Alchemist. Yes, he did. He never got there. It's called the Philosopher's Stone. See, these philosophers, scientists, I'm not saying he didn't have a lot of scientific knowledge. But I also read some stuff about Darwin's own admissions in his writings about the same thing I've been trying to tell you, that how does this work? Even then, before they knew so much about the human cell and things of that nature. But he just flipped it off, trivialized it, and moved on. That's what they always do. The luminaries... The Big Bang Theory. Thank you for sending me that email on that little synopsis of that Jesuit guy who came up with this idea as to how it all got started. An explosion. That's still going on, by the way, and they're thinking. Still building, boom, 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 boom. So nothing brings into existence everything. Instead of just stick with the Bible, God is able to bring into existence what did not previously exist. God alone has that. He is not limited in this respect. That's what makes him so special, among other things. It clears the air. God did it. And Jesus demonstrated it by his miracles over nature. Changing water to wine. Nobody can do that. They can't do that. They don't have a lab where you can bring in a bunch of water and add a bunch of junk to it and wind up with really nice wine. They can't do it. All we can do is take the grapes, of which there are thousands of varieties. All we do is take the grapes, crush them, do certain processes, and bring them to your table. Because God's a gift of God. that He has given us. So the Big Bang Theory, again, with a straight face, and you ought to see the math the guy puts out. You can write up math all day. I mean, it's dizzying. He was honored in Yale and all our big schools. This is around the turn of the century. This is a guy that fought in World War I and who got into this. Sure, he's a genius. Satan's a genius. You know, it's called evil genius. And he's a Catholic. So let's just throw the Bible out. The Catholic Church now no longer officially believes in the Adam and Eve story. They believe in evolution. And probably the older Catholics, that they weren't of that. It's gone down. Theory of relativity, and you could see some interesting YouTube videos on this. This was Einstein. You know, he's the hero. He's another one of these quacks, genius. He was Jewish. He came along, and this was designed to overthrow the Michelson-Morley experiments. These two physicists were trying to prove, because they believed it was, the Earth was spinning. And they did bona fide experiments, and they came to the same dead end. It wasn't moving anywhere. You know what I like to say to myself? You know what you say to someone? You're out here walking around. Do you feel like you're going 1,000 miles an hour? Do you honestly feel like you're going 1,000 miles an hour? Do you honestly believe that if you could stay here and not get hit by trees and buildings and things, get up high enough that, and get, you have to miss the mountains too, that L.A. will be here in an hour? L.A. will be right here. I'm approximating based on the speed and the spin. Because this comes over here to this point. This comes over to this point. And that's what's going to be in an hour or so. How in the heck does that work? How can those things work and make sense? It's almost embarrassing that we ever thought we believed in this stuff. How does this work? How? And if you just have blind faith and all it just does, then that's you. You deserve what you get. If God set up the creation so we could discover Him as existing, and this is His signature, this is His proof, the physical things relate back to a designer, back to a creator, then He expects us to use our brains in the right way. Now, this was, you know, how I was first hit with this subject. It wasn't the Bible. It was, I'll call it the back door to it. Either way, you get to it. What I was hit by was, how can a plane flying against the spin, going west, due west, at 500 miles an hour, how can it not run into that's coming its way quicker than if it was going the other direction? It would never catch up 1,000 miles an hour unless it was going faster than 1,000. So you're telling me the whole, as someone who's in my office, it just goes like this. I said, what you say? It just goes like what? That's not an explanation. The plane would have to be going backwards and forwards at the same time to make it work perfectly. And somebody said to me, see, this is the junk people throw at you. Well, I got back from Japan an hour quicker than when I flew there. Yeah, it's called jet stream. You got that behind your plane, you can make a lot more ground than if you're running up against it. But even that wouldn't account for it. An hour wouldn't account for it. I'm just asking you to think about this. You can't do it. It's against everything we've ever contemplated. Water running downhill and uphill and every which way. They teach it with a straight face. I never got to ask the question, did you? Nobody had the sense to ask the question. That's the whole idea of pursuing truth. You question stuff until you get a satisfactory answer, not a bunch of, you know, the usual. So the Mickelson Morley, you can look up what those guys did. They proved that it wasn't moving, not an inch. And so we fall back on our Bible, the earth cannot be moved. And we don't have to go, yeah, but it is moving 67,000 miles an hour and spinning 1,000 plus. Based on that, in a given year's time, how far do you think you would have traveled in a year? If you're in an airplane, you travel, let's say, you go 1,000 miles. How many miles would you travel in your lifetime? Not excluding your walking, driving, on some kind of transportation system. Modern astrophysics contradicts the origin of the earth with its dome and the origin of the sun, moon, and stars. It's almost like I want to plead with people. We got the earth first. Now, if you don't believe in Genesis and you think that's all wrong, I don't know why you even have any respect for the Bible. And that's why some people never had any respect for it, because it didn't make any sense. But once someone showed the other, they said, oh, now the Bible, I take that seriously, and they believe in Jesus Christ. Because it's a barrier. It's this smoke screen Satan has put up before people. Modern astrophysics contradicts the origin of the earth with its dome and the origin of the sun, moon, and stars. We got them last. Not last, but later. D plus four. Crying out loud. We got them in the middle of the week. So I suppose all this stuff's just scattered out there around the earth at that time. See, whenever I did wrongly, and I'm here to correct myself, my crown depends on me reporting this properly. And I suppose yours does to embrace it. Because I haven't found a doctrine in the Bible you can just throw over here and that's it. I don't have to abide by that. Jesus said, those who teach others not to comply with the least of my commandments will be the least in the kingdom of God. And some big people are going to fall on that sword. I know some people. We don't need to do water baptism. Okay. I didn't say that. I know a pastor that did. He just quit doing it and made a big deal of it. So, bad news. Now, and I've made this clear too. If a person in Maranatha Church had come along on a few decades and here and they were positive and everything and they died and they didn't know about this, they're off the hook. They are off the hook. Just as a new believer comes walking in here, a new believer comes in here a week before the rapture and is positive. God reads their hearts. Yeah, that rebound makes sense. That's great. They'll get the crown. I think of believers all over the earth that believe in Christ on the day of the rapture. Suppose it's the day of the rapture and we have some converts on earth. It's inevitably that we will. Newbies. The last of the church age crowd to complete the body of Christ. They'll get their crown. They did the only thing they can do. They showed their love for God by believing in His Son. They complied with a commandment and boom, they're raptured out of here. How big of a phase two did the thief on the cross have? Some hours, the point he believed. He did everything he could do on that cross. He acknowledged Jesus. He told his buddy to shut up. That's an application. He witnessed Jesus to this other guy on the left. This man has done nothing wrong. We deserve what we get. He came clean with the whole thing. You can't expect him to do any more. He's dying. He gets his crown. He gets the equivalent of it for an Age of Israel saint. Talk about coming close to the deal and stepping in the right place. On the other hand, some believer that has spent decades under doctrine, made great applications, and throws a towel in, they don't get it. They're denied it. More insights on SG3. You have to stick with the truth till you die to get the crown. Or a bunch of us could just quit, say, okay, I got it. I got in the bag. I'm going to get that. I wouldn't want to do that anyway because I don't want God against me. I don't know what, wake up in the morning and say, I said, bye-bye, and ran off to Uruguay. What do you say, Uruguay? I just saw a little article on it. It's a nice place to go, they say. Smallest country in Latin America. Clean. I don't know. I bought a wine from Uruguay, a Cabernet. Guy said, this is phenomenal. So, like you wanted to know that. The God of this world has propagated these lies to discredit and invalidate God's word. And it's done by people who are hardcore God haters. Marx, Karl Marx, you know what he wrote, don't you? The Communist Manifesto. Preaching revolution to the underdogs. Yeah, like they're going to get a good break. It's all a con. But he praised Darwin because you have historical evolution, survival of the, took off of his survival of the fittest. It's all right to kill people, to commit genocide, because we're just, what are we? We're just accidents of some event that occurred back when. And might makes right and all that other stuff. They like that. They like this big monstrosity, stupid timeline and everything because it's an evolution in the political thing. So this ideology is brought in to politics. See? It all ties together. It all ties together. If I can dominate you, then that's okay. Whatever I do, I do. They like that science. They love it. It denies God, and they're God haters. I mean, these are the hardcore God haters. Everybody who's rejected Christ is committed murder. Mental attitude. Before I was saved, I was involved with mental attitude murder. When I believed, I showed my first, this is in 1 John, I showed my first love for God. And everyone who ever has, have shown that love. Now, after that, then there's all this other stuff. Get back to it in 1 John. It's an interesting way he presents this. If you've been listening carefully, you read the book afresh now and go, oh, yeah. So you have these verses that just throw you for a loop. No murderer has in him eternal life. He's not talking about someone who shoots someone in cold blood. He isn't talking about that. It couldn't be. He's talking about hate. Whatever word you like. Resentment. And in some people, it burns like a fire. Other people just, I'm naked. I don't want to hear that. They're haters. They're committing murder. Mental attitude. When they believe in Christ, they're off that hook. Science. And Paul talks about science, so-called. It's perfect sense to me that we're going to screw up the human race with science. Satan's monitoring the human race all the time. Okay, a lot of people are getting sick of the superstitions of the Catholic Church and all this mess. When I studied Western civilization, what did I get? Age of enlightenment. Age of reason. Man is the center of things. You know that deal with a guy like that and all that business? Man's the center of it. Science, reason, not those superstitions, which includes all the miracles in the Bible and all this other stuff. Genesis 1. That's where civilization, and it got embedded in all the universities, as well as the lesser institutions. unless it's a Christian school, it breaks from that and does it. But they've been contaminated too, in a lot of respects. Somebody told me there was a superintendent of schools down someplace, some county or whatever in Florida, that told all the teachers that you cannot teach evolution as a fact. You can teach both sides of it. You have to teach it as a theory. Well, that's a rare deal. The rest of it is saturated. Saturated. Go into any museum that has dinosaurs and stuff and read all the stuff or watch Jack Hanna on TV. And it's fascinating, some of the animals and stuff that he brings into the picture. I like that part. But you always got to throw in, dogmatically, 100 million years. It's out there. And all the rest of this is pushed. Take the Bible or leave it. The Bible's clear. I never would allow science to trump, pardon the expression, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit make things very clear to positive volition so we can write above all this stuff and not be taken in by a world full of lies. In Jesus' name, amen.